Well, hey everyone, welcome again to Harbour Stories. We're a podcast that's all on about hearing stories of real people with real lives and seeing how God has been at work in their lives. My name's Andrew, and today we're going to be talking to our guest, Nathan. Hey, Nathan, how are you going?
Hi, Andrew. I am very good, thank you.
Yeah, well, that's very well. Good. Now, Nathan, we usually start these things just by asking a bit about where people grow up or stuff, but I really want to roll this over to you. Is there anything that you really want to get off your chest this morning?
I'll tell you where I grew up. It'll dovetail into what I want to get off my chest. I grew up in Penrith, in the north of Penrith, in a place called Warrington Downs, kind of halfway between Penrith and St. Mary's. And I'm actually in the area at the moment. And the thing I want to get off my chest is my mum's been harping on about these breakfast burritos. It was Marnie Gomez. And so I went and drove through, because it's a drive-through, Guzmani Gomez, and I really, really wanted one, and breakfast stopped at 10:30, and it was 10:55, which meant that I was pretty sad, but I still got a chicken burrito, and it was delicious, but also a bit of a shock to the system as the first thing that I ate today or consumed at all.
And that's not a breakfast burrito, is it?
It was a burrito for breakfast.
What was the main, I haven't actually had Mexican for a breakfast meal, I don't think ever. What were the main differences between the two burritos?
I think the breakfast burrito really does have like eggs and bacon and things like that on it. This had, spiced chicken and guacamole and sour cream and cheese. I think really, quite a high fat content for the first thing that I've eaten today. And I am concerned about what's going to happen to my body in the next half an hour or so. But we'll see how we go.
Are there any bodily concerns that you have that we should be aware of?
Many, but I'll probably keep them to myself.
Yeah, that was pretty bad question for a Christian podcast, I've realized in hindsight. All righty. Thanks for chatting to us today, mate. You're going to tell us a bit of a story today about how you became a Christian. Why don't you fire away? Whereabouts does your story begin?
Yeah, my story begins in I had a really loving family, my mom, my dad, my older brother and me, and loving extended family. But we were never like a church family or a spiritual family. Mom and dad and my grandparents brought us up to be nice people and good people and to try hard and things like that. But I didn't have any spiritual elements in my family or in my like early upbringing. My first experience of spiritual things was when I was near three, I got sent to the local new low-fee Christian school. And for me, that was really, really an interesting experience because through all of primary school, I just learned and imbibed heaps about Christianity and about the Bible, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just learned through school about Jesus, about things that he had done, about God, about the Bible. We had things like chapel every Friday. We had Christian studies a couple of times a week. We'd sing songs and stuff about Jesus. And I believed all of it as a kid. And I thought it was all true, but it didn't really impact my life. And so that was me kind of all the way through primary school. This is all true. This is all true. Into high school, I started to think, you know, I should look into the evidence, whether this is actually true or not and whether I actually want to believe this. And so that was like year seven, kind of looking into it. And the whole time I think I thought I was a Christian. But again, it really wasn't impacting my life at all. And then when I was in year eight is when things kind of changed in a big way because something terrible happened. Year eight, my school decided that they couldn't trust the year eights with a camp, right, with going on a camp. And so there was no school camp and me and my friends were really sad about that.
Sorry, I was going to ask, had your year done anything nefarious to stop this camp from happening?
I think that my older brother's year group had done something bad in like 2 years previously or something. And so instead, we just did like extracurricular activities at school for 3 days in a row, like learning how the library works. That was their substitute for camp. Found out that the Christian lunchtime group, like the optional group, they ran a camp, a weekend one. And so we were like, hey, we know all about Christianity. We've been at the school for ages. We'll just go on the camp and like pretend and we'll just have a great time, you know, being on camp. And so that's what we did. And it was on that camp where I think for the first time I was given space to just read the Bible for myself. So I don't remember, you know, what the Bible talks were on or anything like that of that camp. But I remember that each morning, just for the weekend, I spent half an hour reading the book of 1 John for myself. And then by the Sunday, I still remember reading this verse in 1 John 4, which is, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Mm-hmm. And I realized, you know, I believed in God. I believed who Jesus said he was and that he died and rose again. I thought it was all true and that there was evidence for it all, but I'd never actually taken the step to treat Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so not only had I rejected God and sinned against him in all these ways, but I was also rejecting his Savior as well. So I feel like I'd kind of like, you know, rejected him twice. And I realized that that was foolish and silly, and Jesus really rose and he's the rightful king. And so it was that Sunday, after reading the Bible for myself, that I decided that I was going to trust Jesus. And me and two of my friends, we made that decision all at the same time. And we still all follow Jesus to this day, which is really cool. It's like 15 years later or something like that.
That's great.
And yeah, so that's kind of like how I came to trust Jesus, if that makes sense.
Mate, that's awesome. Thanks so much for sharing that story. And what an encouragement. 15 years later, you and your mates are still following Jesus.
Yeah, like it's, I think, a lot of ups and downs and, you know, life taking us on different paths and stuff like that. It's really cool. I think something that I think it's important to say as well that, like when I became a Christian, you know, like there was no huge, like massive overnight, like change. Like I didn't, you know, I wasn't doing any kind of extreme or risky behavior before, and I didn't start doing any after. There was no like, you know, huge miraculous like fireworks or anything in the sky when I became a Christian. But I knew that I'd been forgiven by God because that's what he promises in his word. And that was, you know, just huge and life-changing for me in like just every decision, you know, like in every event in my life. It kind of changed everything and reoriented everything in my life. I think that's just important to say because, you know, I didn't have a crazy, crazy, crazy conversion story or anything like that. And I think most people don't. And that's actually pretty normal. But at the same time, beneath the surface, it is totally crazy and totally miraculous that God sent his son into the world to save sinners like me. So yeah, it's great. Really cool. Man. And I love telling the story.
No, that's, and I love hearing that. That's really encouraging. Well, I guess, yeah, 15 years ago, 15 years on, that's quite an amount of time. A lot's happened since you were in year eight. What ways have you kind of been challenged to live as a Christian since then?
Yeah, I mean, again, we don't have heaps of time, but I think just zeroing in on the years like after I came to faith, I think the biggest challenge for me was like the trajectory of life. You know, like we said, if Jesus died for the world and rose again and he's the king, then what does that mean for our whole lives? And that's something that I wrestled with for the next few years. And I think part of that was just growing up as well. You know, like when I became a Christian, I think I was 13 turning 14 or something like that. And so, you know, as I got into middle and then later high school, it's like, if Jesus really is Lord, then realizing that needs to touch like every part of your life, and not just, you know, the bits that are comfortable or the bits that are easy. And so, yeah, I think really challenged with The fact that, you know, Jesus calls us to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily and follow him, and that he, you know, calls us to be ambitious, but be ambitious for the gospel, and thinking through, yeah, what that looked like in everyday life. I think that was a really big challenge for me, you know, and I think particularly being whatever we were, like upwardly mobile, middle class, private school kids, thinking about what that looks like as well. I don't know, I guess it's like a little bit vague, but I guess it's kind of like a part of my story is that I didn't have any huge, crazy things happen to me. I'm just a guy from a non-Christian family in Western Sydney, trying to follow Jesus and treat him as Lord. So as I got into later high school, it was thinking about, what I wanted to do with my life, what I wanted to do with, you know, life after school, how I wanted to serve God. Eventually that led me to, you know, doing some getting early entry into university, thinking about whether that was something that I wanted to do, thinking through doing a ministry apprenticeship at church, being trained in how to share Jesus with other people full time. And that eventually is what I chose to do. And that was two really hard years, but two really good years trying to learn how to do that. Sorry, I think I'm rambling again, but
No, you're fine.
Hope some of that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what you're just highlighting is that it's not just kind of a big conversion moment. Hey, it's the everyday. It's the how to live for Jesus in every day since that point where you realize that you're completely forgiven.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, again, there are so many things that can kind of take us off that. There are so many things that, so many voices in our lives that want to tell us that it's really all about us and that, that following Jesus can be a little kind of side thing that we do. But, you know, that's not how God talks, not how Jesus talks. You know, he can't be second place. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, brother. That's really encouraging. We have to go very soon, but I think I'll just end on just one last thing I'm curious about. Can you think of one way that you've been really encouraged at how you've seen God at work since you became a Christian?
Yeah, I think that apprenticeship, that 2-year internship traineeship thing that I did was really significant for me. And one of the main reasons why is because I did that traineeship with another guy who was 10 years older than me. Just formed a really, really, really close friendship with him over those 2 years. It still continues today. And I think I've seen how God works in people, in people and through people who, are humble and consistent. Because that's what he's like. I think I've seen the fact in him, and then over and over again throughout the years that, and again, this kind of fits with my story as well, is that I think, you know, we always want God to show up in huge and impressive ways, and ways that look impressive to us, and you know, they're the kind of Bible stories that we remember and things like that. But that's not really the way that God works. It's not really the way that God grows his kingdom. God grows his kingdom in kind of small ways that, you know, the world might look at and think is weak, you know, God grows his kingdom through humility and through consistency and through people being faithful. I've seen that in the guy I'm talking about. Hopefully, that's something that's been evident in my life imperfectly. But I think that's something that I've been reminded of, you know, that you don't need to be impressive for God to work in you or through you. It's like an upside down kingdom, God's kingdom. And the last will be first. yeah, I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Nathan. You've given, certainly given me a lot of, lot to chew on, a lot to think through. I really appreciate you giving us your time today.
That's all right. Thanks heaps.
No worries. Catch you later.